Morning. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Good morning.
Morning.
And maybe it's me, you know, I have this long voice sometimes. But it's great to see everyone here this morning. We are in the midst of elder nominations and continuing on. And for the next 3 weeks, the elders wanted to share with you some of our thoughts about what that means. So Chip will be coming in a few moments and sharing some thoughts from some of his studies. Before he does, I want to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to read a scripture and then lead us in a prayer. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, we are reminded through this passage that God, everything we have, everything we are, Father, our coming and our going in this world is all guided and directed by you, the great shepherd. And God, as we try to follow in your footsteps, Father, as we try to listen to your voice, God, there are also many competing voices that call out to us. And God, we pray for your wisdom. We pray to hear your voice. We pray, God, to respond to that voice and to block out all of the noise. God, help us as David, the psalmist, wrote, to know without a doubt that, God, as we put our trust in you and our hope in you, that you will truly guide and direct us and take us down the path, God, that helps us to understand and helps us to be the very best person that you have created each and every one of us to be. God, continue to be with us as we go through the elder process and continue to help us, again, to just remember, God, that we ourselves are mere men, and all that we do, God, amounts to nothing unless it's done under your guidance and with our faith and trust fully in you. Pray that you would be with Chip now and bless him and the thoughts that he's prepared to share with us this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I notice there's no clock on here, so I get to talk as long as I want, right? It's great to be with you here today. Thank you, Ed, for your prayer. As Ed was explaining a little bit about, this is going to be a three-part series by the elders. So today's my Sunday. Next week, Richard will be speaking to you. And then the third week is Ed. And after that, Alan Wright will be back to speak with us. And at times like this, when I'm up here and trying to speak, I always think of Alan because he's able to come up and give a relaxed and thoughtful message to us that's well stated and easy to understand, and I really appreciate that, and it's times like this when I appreciate it the most. But I believe it's a good thing to hear about this topic. The topic of, I guess I should say what the topic is, eh? I'm going to give an introduction to what we're going to be doing as far as the appointment of elders and some thoughts that you can carry with you as you pray with us over this process that's going to unfold over the next few weeks. It's great to hear the topic as it comes from the perspective of different people. And so that's one of the things that you're going to get out of this, is you're going to hear it from a lot of different things. There's so many people in this audience, but we're all different. And it's great to hear things from different perspectives, and it'll stimulate your thinking and hopefully will give you some information that you can use as you go to the Father in prayer over our congregation in this special time that we are. The most important part, I think, to what we're doing today is I hope that you will take the message to heart and you will have it change your heart in some small way, or hopefully a big way, but in a way that brings you closer to God and closer to His will for you in your life. Today's topic, the main topic, is that we're going to discuss God's plan for elders in the church. And if you haven't already heard it by now, one of the reasons that brings us to this point is that Richard Brown and Ed Smith have both stated their intentions that they are going to step down in the near future. And so I'm going to let them give any additional insight into what their plans are, but it's my plan to continue serving as an elder. And in a couple of weeks, we hope to announce the list of candidates. And after that, it will be a period by which you can ask questions and ask the people who are nominated questions and hopefully resolve those questions between the members and the candidates. Then the final candidates will be installed on March 29th. So that'll give you, probably won't remember all these dates and times and things, but just know that we're trying to make it a shorter time than the last time, and we really need the congregation's prayers for this important time where we're selecting leaders. And that's why we're up here talking about some of the things that we'd like for you to think about during that time. So you might be thinking, what has this got to do with me? Well, I think it does, because each one of you plays a part in it. And I'd like to take this time and challenge you to think about how it applies to your life. Everybody has a different role in this congregation. And if you're here today, even if you're not a member of the congregation, you have a role here and you're trying to figure out what your role is. And so I'd like for you to take this time to think about the things that I'm going to be talking about as far as elder selection is concerned, but you'll also look to apply them to how I can live, or how all of us can live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, and how we can become closer to God. And I assume that you're here because you're here today, right at this time, because you want to learn more about what God's plan is for your life. And so hopefully this will provide some insight, although it might not be directed to every single person here in the audience. But the primary topic I wanted to talk about on the subject of elders comes from Acts 20:28. And so if you have your Bibles, it'd be good to be looking at that, because you might want, we're going to sort of break that down a little bit. Acts 20, chapter 20, verse 28. And I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on here in the verses before that scripture and that scriptural reference point. Paul is calling a group of elders from the church of Ephesus to come and listen to him, and he speaks to them, and he gives them a charge, I guess you would say. because he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm not going to see you again. And so these are some last words that he wants to leave with the elders of the Ephesian church. And all this is recorded in Acts, presumably by Luke in that book. And so he's talking directly to the elders. And so he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So I see this personally as a message to me. Paul was giving it to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and as an elder of the church of this congregation, I see that Paul is speaking to me as well through the Holy Spirit. And so you'll note one of the first things that he says is he warns the elders to keep watch over themselves. It's important that I keep a watch over myself. And how am I doing? And how am I watching over what I'm doing in my life? And that's important to me. So what does it mean to be a watchman? Well, if you look throughout the Bible, they talk about being a watchman. It's a very important job. And a watchman typically is kind of a military term. It's a person that sits in a high place and looks out over and sees if the enemy's coming. And so that's one of the jobs of an elder, is to be keeping watch over the dangers that might be coming to the congregation. And so we need to be keeping a watch out. And Ezekiel 33 is the big scripture that talks about what a watchman does. And it talks about, Ezekiel talks about, he's talking about the whole children of Israel back in the Old Testament. If you read in Ezekiel 33, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. But Ezekiel 33 is talking about how being a watchman is, and he's trying to warn the children of Israel to repent from their evil ways. The children of Israel at this time, Israel and Judah are both in exile, and they're being chastised for how they came to this place of being taken into exile. And Ezekiel is warning them, and he says, Ezekiel talks about what it's like to be a watchman, because that's what he is also. He says in Ezekiel 33:10, starting there, Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you're saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we're wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? So God wants us all to turn from our evil ways, whatever they are, whatever they might be in our individual circumstances. And a watchman is sent by God to warn people. So elders need to be warning and admonishing the children of God, especially those who are sinning, and tell them to turn from their evil ways. And one of the things that struck me reading this passage is the expression, our sins weigh us down. Why do you think the sins would weigh them down? It's because since they're in exile, they are getting the just reward for the way they have lived their lives and their sin. And so that's something that I hear today as an elder, is that people talk about how their lives are weighing them down and how the world seems to be against them and everything they try to do seems to be failing and nothing works out and people are double-crossing them and cheating them and all kinds of things like that. And part of that can be because you have not turned from your evil ways. You're getting the just reward of the lifestyle that you've chosen. And God doesn't want you to have that lifestyle. He wants you to have a life that is in harmony with His will. And so he wants you to repent. He doesn't want you to be punished. He doesn't want you to have difficult times in your life. He wants you to conform to his will and to follow his commands and to live close to him. And then God will bless you and you won't feel weighed down. You'll have the confidence of being an heir in his kingdom. But I don't want to talk about all completely bad news on the idea of a watchman. There's other kinds of watchmen, and if you'll turn to Isaiah 52, it says a little bit more about being a watchman. In Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 9, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." So God rejoices when we are redeemed, when we find salvation. And there's many here who will tell you, "I have recently found salvation." And it's a great thing. And the elders, the watchmen in our watchman role, we love to be able to celebrate those times. It's not simply about admonishing people and scolding people, but we also love to celebrate salvation and repentance. So how does this apply to us? Well, of course, how has God delivered you? And one of the favorite things that I enjoy about the Central Congregation is people are willing to speak here about how God has delivered them. It's one of the most encouraging times that I have as an elder. When I talk to people, such as when they come to place membership, and they talk about the road that they have traveled to reach our family here at Central, all those journeys are very encouraging. Some of them are complicated and difficult and fraught with all kinds of terrible things, and others are much more simple and much more straightforward, but they all talk about how God has delivered them, and they feel like they've found a home here at this congregation, and that's so encouraging to me, and we love to celebrate that. Now, I apologize in advance if maybe it doesn't always seem like we're celebrating, but believe me, that is a wonderful thing about being an elder, is to hear about how God has delivered us and how we have found a home here at Central. It's one of the things that's especially encouraging is that they believe this Central family is the congregation that believes Jesus is their Savior, and we're all working together to help each other. You know, we all need to grow as Christians, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:16. He's telling these same Ephesians that he was speaking to in Acts. He says, "From him," or Jesus Christ, "the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." All of us need to grow, and we need to have a plan of how we want to grow. And we ought to do it in unity. So what's the purpose? We need to unite to, here in verses 12 through 14, it says, "to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So we need to lean on each other to be stable, to be united, to be equipped, and to work together in the kingdom. And then we can resist the influences from the world that might take us in the wrong direction. So the next function that I'd like to talk about, and that Paul mentioned in this original scripture in Acts, the next duty of an elder is to be an overseer. He calls upon the elders of the Ephesians to see themselves as overseers. Now, that word carries a little bit more of a meaning of a ruler or authority. And Peter points out in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, elders should be servants and not lord over the flock. And I'm not going to cover that more because I think Alan did a great job with that. We might want to say right now what he wants us to remember from that lesson, and that is just a few words. I can't count the words in my head right now. Not so with you. That's four. Not so with you. So we need to remember that, and elders need to remember that as well. Even though they're an overseer and they have authority, they need to not use it in the way that Jesus warned us against. And we should be servants of the flock as well. You know, sometimes elders are called in to settle differences between individuals or maybe groups of people. These situations often call for someone who is old and experienced. And I use that purposefully because there's a reason why they call us elders is because we're old. And that's probably the first reason. And it's important to be old. And I learned that I was much younger. I feel much younger, too. I felt like I was much younger at the time in 2013 when I became an elder. And I had some optimistic vision of youth. What little youth I still had left at that time. But as I gained experience as an elder, I learned a few things, and one of those was that differences between Christians are mostly differences between well-meaning people who are trying to do a good job, and they have differences on what's the best way to do that job. And all elders have is our own best judgment. We have the guidance of the scriptures. We have the guidance of the Holy Spirit through our prayer. And we have the experience that we have through years and years of working with people and working with our families and so on and so forth. It's not just a simple thing. And I think I thought more when I was younger that it'd be a simple thing. Just show them the scripture where this is right and this is wrong. And then everything will be okay. But it doesn't turn out that way. And there's a lot more factors that come into being when you try to work with people on something as important as salvation and as important about how we're going to behave ourselves and work together and be united here as members of this congregation. It's too simplistic to think, well, this one's right and this one's wrong. And so there are times when that's absolutely the case, but it's rare. And there you have to have judgment to know what is the time to invoke right and wrong and which is the time to work with people and work with their emotions and try to help them understand. And one of the reasons I believe God makes sure that we have more than one elder, and I think a minimum of three is what we're going to need, because I always have my own perspective, and I'll think this is simple. And I'll come in, this is great, this is easy, this is simple, and we'll all sit down together as elders, and they'll point out some obvious facts that had completely escaped me. And it's not as simple as I thought it was going to be. And so what we do is we get together and we try to come up with ways that we can all understand it within the group of elders that we have. And we try to reach a solution that we all can live with, that we feel like is going to be true to our conscience. And so that cancels out some of the biases I might have brought into the conversation when I first came. And it makes the decision so much more important, or so much more, I'm sorry, I need to take a deep breath. So it brings us to where our decisions, the decision of any elders, and not just the three that we have right now, but the decisions of any elders when they're together, they're face-to-face, they're looking at each other, they're talking to each other, they know each other, and they say, this is something that I can live with. That decision is so much better. Doesn't necessarily make it the perfect decision. It doesn't make it the right decision in every single case, but it is the best decision that we can do. And I have been very encouraged by that from being an elder. Even though I can see how I might have made a mistake, the other elders have protected me from being too dramatic. And I think I've helped in from time to time in the same way with my fellow elders. That's a wonderful thing. Brings us close. So that brings me to my next thing. Well, maybe not. I think I have more to say on that. This is something that comes with the experience of age, and you have to have love for all the parties in the process to reach a solution that maintains unity. And one of the things that that helps me with that now that I didn't have when I first started as an elder is now I have 5 grandchildren. And I can understand on a day-to-day basis how hard it is to maintain unity and settle differences. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to see grandchildren. Grandchildren are so special, and they are there just like Jesus. I think it's like Jesus looks at me. I'm an heir to his family and to his inheritance that he's brought to us. And just like my grandchildren are heirs of mine, and even though they do not always act the way I would like for them to act, I love them, and it's a great thing, a wonderful thing, and it helps me understand how God looks at us, how he can look at me and know that I'm weak and not taking a deep enough breath. So and he can still love me even though I'm wrong a lot of times as well. It brings me to my next topic, is that was mentioned in Acts 20, and that is of being a shepherd. And the Bible often talks about leadership in the church or leadership period as being like a shepherd. And one scripture that I looked at was John 10, and if you could turn there, if you have your Bibles, John 10 and the first 18 verses there will kind of jump through, but it would be good for you to read it. But being an elder is like being a shepherd, and there's a lot of similarities that an elder, a prospective elder, might want to think about. The first one. Thank you, Graham. All right, the first one speaks, Jesus speaks of a pen, P-E-N, in verse 1. And a pen is where Jesus has established the boundaries for his sheep. An important job of the elders is to establish boundaries, congregational boundaries. Now, Jesus could talk about offense. There's nothing written in stone that offense has to be in a particular area. You can make it bigger. You can make it encompass all the land that you own, or you can make it in a smaller area. I know that I've never had sheep, but we've had other pets, and we always start out with more confined things early, and we work to something much less confined later. So you have changes in boundaries. There's boundaries, and there's no set particular thing for those boundaries other than the judgment of the elders. So we want to establish these congregational boundaries where we can maintain clear differences between our congregation and the world. These boundaries protect the sheep and allow them to grow to maturity while they're still safe. And so that just requires judgment sometimes. Sometimes it's described in the Bible in different ways, but it's just judgment. And so that's one thing. In verse 3, Jesus talks about how the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep. So elders must lead by example, not simply use their authority. They need to be leading by example and going out ahead. The next one I identified was in verse 4, Jesus says that the sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. So elders must get to know their congregation and build their trust. In verse 9, and if you didn't get it before, this is John 10, verse 9. The shepherd provides pasture for the flock. He tells us that the shepherd provides pasture for the flock. So elders need to provide for the needs of the congregation. It may be instruction in what the Bible says, or it may be just the benefit of good examples of people who God has delivered, and the encouragement that they and the understanding they need from a lesson that somebody can give. In verse 11, Jesus speaks about laying down his life for the sheep. And fortunately, I have not been asked to lay down my life just yet, but elders have to be sacrificial for lots of things, such as their time and other interests that they might have, and they lay those down and sacrifice those for the benefit of the sheep. In verse 12 of John 10, Jesus warns of a hired hand who will abandon the sheep if the going gets tough. And the elders need to show a long-term allegiance to the congregation. In verse 14, Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So elders must open their lives and develop deep relationships with the congregation. And in verse 16, it talks about how Jesus is bringing new sheep into the flock. So elders have to develop a vision for the congregation and work to bring in new members and to be welcoming of new members. So those points I hope will help you understand a little bit more about the attributes of elders that are mentioned in Acts 20, that is, being a watchman, being overseers, and being shepherds. Elders need to personify those traits. And I want you here to challenge you to challenge me to fulfill those traits. If you have a question about what we're doing or what I'm doing. And all of us who are here, all members, should work to grow in these attributes. Regardless of what role, everyone is a leader in whatever they do for the congregation. Whatever it is that you're doing, whatever function that you're performing in the congregation, you are providing leadership. And you need to take these qualities to heart, and especially ones who would like to prepare themselves to become an elder one day. It's a difficult thing to be an elder for a long period of time, and it doesn't. It's not something taken lightly, and there are going to be opportunities in the years to come for people who have an interest in that to become elders. So they need to look at that, and if they have an interest in possibly doing that, or if they see that as their duty someday, it would be a good thing to be keeping in mind what is going to be required for that, and what am I doing to prepare myself to, if I'm asked one day, to be able to serve in that way. It affects all aspects of your life, and it requires growth and maturity as a Christian. So, given the fact that it does change, I wanted to take just a minute to thank the former elders that we have here today for their service to this congregation. There's at least 8 men here in our congregation who have been elders and that are here. I don't know if they're here today. I know one of them is not because my father's not here today. But he is in Knoxville, Tennessee, if anyone is worried about him. All the men who have been elders, I am very thankful for, and I appreciate that. It's a great job, and it's an encouraging thing, and it's important to each one of us on an individual basis. I particularly want to thank one elder, or one former elder, actually, who came to me before I even thought that I would want to be an elder and said, I would like for you to consider being an elder. Would you do it? And I talked to her with my wife, and we thought about it and decided to do it. And it's been a great thing for me. It has allowed me to grow and improve in my Christian walk. It's also illuminated many ways that I need to continue to grow and continue to improve. I personally want to ask for the prayers of the congregation so I can continue to grow in my faith and learn how to fulfill all the duties of the congregation that I've taken on. I want to also mention that the Central Family, I believe, is a very special congregation. And I thought about also in Ephesians where Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You were once darkness, but you are now light, I should say. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. I think Central is special in the congregations that I've attended, and I have been a member of at least 7 congregations, and they've all been very different, and they have been, except when I was here before, and then we were very similar, although it's different today. Back in the day, we were more, we had a bigger campus ministry, and that was a very strong focus of the congregation, and it's not as much now, but we're hoping in the near future to continue that mission and show progress in that area. And I ask for your prayers in doing that. I think Central is special because we come from so many different directions. We come from so many different backgrounds. And we have been, as a general rule, everybody here is willing to share. as I have said already, that God has delivered us and how God delivered us from our former way of life. In a lot of other congregations that I've attended, people are hesitant to talk about that. They don't want people really to get to know them closely. I don't really know what the problem is. Maybe I can only speak for myself. Maybe I'm worried that if people get to know me too much, they might not think as highly of me. Maybe that's it. But the one thing great about Central is we talk about how where we have come from and why we are so thankful for God and how he has delivered us. So I'd like for all of us to keep that special aspect of Central. One of the things that highlighted is some of the things that we're studying on Wednesday nights. They're talking about whether we're accepting people who come from a life of sin. And one of the things that made me think about is I had an impression we don't have that problem here at Central. That was my first impression. And so I'm sure we do in some areas, but one of the reasons I believe is we have lots of people who are willing to share about how God has delivered them. And that is so encouraging to people, and it's instructive to people to understand how God can deliver you from wherever you are and how he can continue to deliver you. So if you're here today and you want to put off your old life, you're coming from one of those places that some of the members here in this congregation have come from. If you feel like you have offenses and sins, like Ezekiel was talking about, offenses and sins that weigh you down, please resolve now, right here, right now, to take action to do that. Repent of your old ways. Turn to God. If there's any way that I can help you right now, I'd like for you to come down front as we stand and sing together.